Sci-Fi Party Line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and guess who I have back with me? Hanako! Woo!
Hey, stranger!
It is so good to have you back. I think I've been begging this woman to talk to me for like 8 weeks. Nah, I'm just kidding.
You know what? It's good to be back, girl. I'm just slowly stepping back into this fandom stuff. You know, real life has been a mess, and I got to get back to the stuff that I love, so I'm glad to be back.
That's right. You got to get back to stuff, both of us, because life's been crazy, just insane.
Yeah.
But
it's not fun. It's not good. So yeah. I feel like so disconnected. So we gotta get back into it.
That's right. And today we're going to have fun, and it's going to be good. So
we always have fun. So yeah.
Today we're going to talk about Vampire Diaries, Supernatural. I didn't have Hanako on the Avengers episode, but I have to talk with her about Avengers. So you suck it up. You're going to have to listen to Avengers yet again. Deal with it. Because if you remember a few months back, Hanako and I were salivating over the Avengers, what was it, the very first trailer, like like 5 minutes after it was posted, we fired up Skype, got on it, and talked about it. So
yeah, I think we squealed a little bit more than we talked. It was, I mean, we were really excited about it, and it lived up.
Yes,
it really did. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it did. So we will get to that towards the end of the episode. First, we're going to talk about The Vampire Diaries.
Yay! Okay, let me just start off by saying Vampire Diaries, Supernatural, both of them, I felt like I needed therapy after this season. There was just so much stuff. I mean, every other episode, I'm crying, I'm screaming at my TV, I'm hating characters, and then when things happen to them, I was just really screwed up emotionally. Me and my girls both were just kind of like, they're just really trying to drive us nuts. We don't know what to think, we don't know what to feel, we don't know whether to love Klaus or hate him, or it's just...
Oh, it's so hard to hate Klaus. Oh, it's so hard to hate that gorgeous.
Especially when he's so sexy. Oh, but you know, that's beside the point. He's a good bad guy, but it's like one minute you want to hate him, and then he shows off this little tender side towards Caroline, and you know, it's like he's all devious and vicious towards his family, but as soon as his mom shows up, he's all like, he's a little boy that's seeking approval, and it's just, you don't know which way to go with him. And towards the end of, you know, towards the end of the season, it was kind of like, you want him to die, but you don't want him to die because you want to see what he's going to come up with next. And so it's going to be really interesting to see what happens next season with him being in Tyler's body, which,
what happened to Tyler? Where did Tyler go? I thought Tyler was dead, and then Tyler's not dead. Klaus is still alive, which, you know, I'm happy because I thought it was curious that now in the Vampire Diaries, like all of the promotional photos, Klaus is in the promotional photos all of the time now, which is weird for me. Have you seen like several pictures that they've taken, photo shoots, Klaus, Stefan, Damon, and Elena, and that's so weird.
Yes.
No other characters.
I've seen it, so it's like I guess he is going to be still a major part, but it's just kind of weird. A couple of girlfriends and I have been kind of going back and forth, and me and my daughters have been going back and forth trying to figure out what happened with the whole Klaus and Tyler thing. And, you know, I don't do spoilers at all. I don't go onto any of the chat boards because, I don't want to hear what everybody else thinks. I kind of, within my own group, just kind of want to see how everybody else interprets the episode and, you know, what everybody else thinks. So it's like, one, the first thing that we've agreed on is right now we don't really like Bonnie.
That's Bonnie.
Like number one. It's like, I guess I can understand her actions and the reason the reason why she's been doing the things that she's doing, but it's kind of like, to me, she's kind of contradicting herself. She keeps saying that, you know, these people are doing this and they're controlling things or whatever, but she's kind of doing the same thing. And I guess she feels like her reasoning is more noble than anybody else's or more pure. But either way it goes, she's starting to follow that little dark path that her mom warned her about when she used the dark magic, you know, to try to stop Klaus's heart. But as far as Klaus, the whole Klaus and Tyler thing, okay, it's obvious Bonnie did a spell to switch Klaus to Tyler's body. But then that begs the question, what happened to Tyler? Was Tyler in Klaus's body when Alaric stabbed him?
Now, are you sure, was a switch into the body, or was there some shape-shifting involved?
I don't think the shape-shifting comes into play, because it's like unless they plan to introduce that aspect in the next season, we really don't hear anything about shapeshifters in Vampire Diaries. You know, it's like Tyler was straight werewolf. So, I don't know. I'm thinking she did a spell similar to what
the mother did with
Rebecca. You know, when she switched into Rebecca's body so that she can kind of trick everybody. I'm thinking that, but see, they never said whether or not Rebecca was still present in the body, or did she switch places with her mother? Like, did her mother possess her, or did she actually switch bodies? See,
right,
that was never really addressed.
Right, they did not get into the
mechanics. So I'm thinking Tyler is probably still there, because I really do feel like that was Tyler giving his goodbyes to Caroline. I don't feel like that was Klaus. I really think that was Tyler, you know, right before he started changing. But at that point, Bonnie had already spoken with Klaus, or she had already been left alone with Klaus. So, you know, again, I think that was Tyler in the body. So I'm thinking maybe Klaus is just possessing him. But that's going to be really interesting, because now you've got two people who are into Caroline in one body. And how is she going to...
Oh,
it's like,
God.
How is, you know, because it's like she already loves Tyler, so she's going to see that this is Tyler. And then all of a sudden, Tyler's going to take on some different personality quirks, and it's probably going to confuse her. And then she's going to, you know, of course, she's going to fall in love. She's going to fall deeper in love. And then once she finds out that Klaus is in Tyler's body, then she's going to be confused, and she's going to be conflicted, and yada, yada, yada. But
it's Elena and Damon and Stefan all over again, but just with one body.
Yeah, with just a little bit more complications. Well, I don't... And again, I don't know if that's a little bit more complication, because Elena has two... that whole situation there.
So, yeah, I got a little tired of Elena, Steph, and Damon thing going back and forth this season. I gotta say, it was exhausting. However, it got a little interesting towards the end, because Elena specifically said if she had met Damon first, that she would have fell for him. Turns out, she met him first. And
that little twist.
Yeah, let's talk about the elephant in the room. She's a vampire now. So if she's a vampire,
you know,
now, if she's a vampire,
I was wondering,
would she remember?
Would
she remember her meeting Damon first, and then she go off with Damon? Now, back to your question, you was wondering if they would ever do that. Are you disappointed, or are you excited?
I'm actually excited, because in the books, she did turn into a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
She did turn into a vampire, and I think in the books, if I'm not mistaken, there was some kind of dark force that pushed her. Because, you know, like I told you, probably about halfway through the first season, they completely deviated from the books.
Right.
So it's like, it's kind of similar to the whole True Blood thing. It's like, there are certain things that are still similar, but for the most part, they're on two completely different paths. So in the books, Elena did turn into a vampire. And I was kind of wondering if they would do that with the show, which I'm kind of glad they are, because that adds a whole nother element to her character, and it kind of complicates things a little bit with the brothers. But I think she'll remember, because if you remember when Damon was dating Caroline before she got turned, he kept compelling her and she never remembered anything, and then once she turned, She remembered everything because she whooped his ass really good for that. She's like, oh, yeah.
True.
So I think Elena's going to remember, and I think, I don't know if that's going to push her closer to Damon or if it's going to push her away, because she's going to remember that she met him. She's also going to remember that he compelled her to forget.
I think and, you know, that she's going to be a bit like Catherine, and she's going to go for the bad boy.
I can see that, but also because I've read the books and I know how I know how that kind of works. And there were some interesting times in the books, and I don't know how that's going to play out in the show, especially since we have the whole original family. Like, I don't think, if I remember correctly, the original family was not as vast and was not as detailed and as integral to the plot as they are in the show.
Okay.
So I don't know how that's going to affect everything with her changing and whether or not, you know, what they have planned for. It's going to be interesting to see, because now she's pretty much become, you know, part of the rest of the crew. And it's like, now, you know, Klaus's survival is going to mean her survival now, because, well, if you think about it, Meredith saved her with vampire blood. She had a store of vampire blood from Damon. So I can only assume that that's Damon's blood that's in her system.
Oh, my God. So that means that he be her sire.
Not necessarily, because he didn't turn her. She just happened to die with vampire blood in her system. I think it's different if the person actually turns them, like, they drain them and then give them the blood, instead of her dying with vampire blood in her system. Because if that's the case, Catherine wouldn't have had to compel Caroline to do the stuff that she did. If you think about
well,
it,
well, yeah,
Catherine
that's
kind of
wrong though, because I don't know. I think I disagree, because Klaus had to compel Stefan to do the things that he wanted him to do. So there is like a layer of obedience, but then there's a layer of, you know, rebellion, and then somebody having to compel you. So,
but see, the difference is Klaus, even though Stefan is a direct descendant of Klaus's bloodline, Klaus was not the one who turned him.
Okay.
Catherine was the one who turned him.
Okay, right. You're right. Okay.
You know, she actually turned him, and he died, and, you know, with her blood in his system. With Caroline, she had Catherine's blood. Well, she had Damon's blood in her system, and she died. So it's like, even though that was the case, since she wasn't turned in that sense, no one really controlled her. Whenever she had to do something, she was always compelled to do it. It was different with Klaus and Tyler, because Klaus actually turned Tyler.
Okay.
He bit him, drained him, and killed him, and then, you know, with his blood in the system. So I think it's kind of different on that level.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know. I forgot about Catherine and Stefan.
So
I got to tell you, when I did not see Elena turn into a vampire, becoming a vampire coming. So when it happened, I let out an audible yes, like right here, sitting in front of my computer screen watching it, just like, yes, thank goodness. Oh, I'm so happy.
Yeah,
I just was so happy that
happy.
It happened, because they've just been teasing us and toying with it, and she's been on the verge of it so many times. And you know what? Let's just do it. Let's get it over with and see the fallout. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, me too. I'm really curious as to where they're going to go with that, because now, okay, you have the two brothers who are still in love with her. You have the two brothers who are now getting along better than they ever have. Like, they understand each other. They you can see that genuine affection that was evident with them before they were turned, before Catherine came into their lives.
Right.
So that's going to add a whole new dynamic, because now she's a vampire. She's, you know, she's going to have to go through this whole bloodlust thing and trying to control it. And if, I don't know, it's going to open up a whole new can of worms. And I'm really excited to see
what did you think about the Alaric subplot with him in the ring going crazy.
You know what? I loved it because I love seeing him be crazy. That whole, okay, if you've ever followed him on Twitter, you can tell that, okay, back when I used to do Twitter a lot, I used to follow him, and he goes under an alias on Twitter, and he, I'm trying to think of the best way to put it, he's kind of crazy. He's kind of crazy because he'll just all of a sudden he would tweet stuff about aliens and about this and about that. And it's just kind of like, what the hell is wrong with this man? But it was kind of cool, too, because you don't know if this is his personality for real or if this is just something he's just putting out there for the fans. You know, some I've heard that some of his fans are a little bit creepy.
As in really? Of this guy?
Yeah. So... I've heard some stories, so, you know, I'm just kind of like, okay, well, I don't know if that's how he is, but getting to see him go from not necessarily straight-laced a lot, but, you know, kind of down in the dumps, you know, everything bad is always happening to him. He can't keep a girlfriend because she's either crazy or she's a vampire or she's whatever. You know, he just does not have the best of luck. So for him to go from this generally nice, good guy to something so evil, it was great to see, but it was so heartbreaking to watch because we had to watch him die not once but twice.
Yeah,
you know, like really, really die. You know, I don't count the death with the ring on as his death because we knew, okay, he's coming back. You know, after that first time when Damon broke his neck, it was kind of like, ah, but then when he started coming back, it's kind of like, okay, well, he died again. You know, I'm kind of getting the same way with Jeremy, too. It's like, oh, he died again. Oh, well.
Well, I'm a little annoyed. I'm a little annoyed at, oh, this ring has this thing and it saves you, but it'll make you crazy in the end. That kind of irritated me because, so, Jeremy's been using this ring, so he has that to look forward to, and which means that he's going to either go crazy or either have to stop wearing the ring, in which case that means he's going to die or become a vampire or something worse.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's hope Jeremy can just keep his nose, can stay out of trouble. But I don't know. I guess the thing with the ring kind of makes sense because it is a kind of dark magic. And, you know, if you think about one of the other shows we watch, Once Upon a Time, what is it that Rumpelstiltskin is always saying? Magic always comes with a price. So it's like you can't really expect for this person to be able to die and come back to life and die and come back to life and there not be some kind of consequences behind it. I mean, if you really think about that kind of thing and, you know, crossing over from one plane of existence to another and then going back, it would be enough to make anybody crazy. I mean, again, thinking to another show, Being Human, and with what Sally went through this season.
Okay. I'm still in the middle of her season. Yes, guys, I have started watching Being Human at the request of Hanako, and I enjoy it, and I like it.
But I'll just say Sally went through some stuff, you know, as far as being a ghost. And, you know, once you watch it, you'll understand what I mean. You'll say, okay, now I understand what you're talking about. But, yeah, so there has to be some kind of consequence going back and forth for that. So I like how they made it, how interesting they made it, you know, as far as, you know, with one of the founders, you know, who had the ring before, and she went through the same thing. So I kind of like that aspect of it, but it was just, I don't know, I guess in some ways I felt like they changed him too quickly. It's like all of a sudden, you know, he's this person and, you know, we're trying to figure out who's doing all these killings and stuff. And then all of a sudden we find out it's him.
Yeah. I
think they kind of went into that too quickly, but they played it off very well because I really, really, up until the time when we really saw him go crazy, I was still thinking it was Meredith. I really did.
Yes. I agree with you there. I think maybe it went too quickly because of, you know, the death of the aunt and his girlfriend. What's her name? Aunt
Jenna?
Yeah, Jenna. that probably accelerated it for him because that's a lot of pain. So
Yeah.
he probably.
And, you know, that was not too long after, you know, Isabel finally died, her final death. And, you know, he didn't have, I don't think he really had closure from that because she kind of compelled him to forget about all that stuff. So
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, it's kind of like Elena said. She said, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to believe that you have this much bad luck when it comes to women. And unfortunately, he just seems to have that kind of bad luck, period. So,
Ugh,
you
so
know.
sad for him.
Yeah, but here we go, another adult gone now, you know, and now if you think about it, Jeremy is totally alone now, unless you count, because John Gilbert is still out there somewhere, isn't he? Or did
Yeah.
it? No, he died too. No, he died too.
When did
He
he
died to save
die?
Elena's. He remember he died to save Elena's life.
Oh,
There was
I
some
forgot
punch
about
still,
that.
I can't, yeah, I forgot. I think, look, we'll have to do a rewatch, but there was some kind of spell where Elena was dying and he had Bonnie do a spell and it basically took his life, but it saved hers.
Okay, yeah.
And that was like, yeah. So it's like, really now, aside from the fact that Elena is alive, but she's a vampire, Jeremy is like completely alone now.
Yeah, Jeremy and I forgot the other guy name, her first boyfriend. That's still
Mac.
not Matt. Yeah, so they're
Yeah.
gonna be pretty much totally alone. I want to talk about Bonnie and her situation because we kind of touched on that, but I want to talk about her a little bit more. She went through a lot this season. She found her mother. She also found out that her mother was raising another kid, some stranger, but did not want to, raise her. Then her mother, in order to save Elena, got turned into a vampire and then abandoned Bonnie again. What a douche mom, right?
Yeah, but you know, I'm just I don't know. I think Bonnie kind of should have expected that because I mean, if you know, I kind of I don't want to say I understand a mother abandoning her children or her child, but given the circumstances with the way she said things were and what she had to do, because here's the thing. When she was telling Bonnie about the what did they call that spell? The spell that they used to encapture Michael originally. The spell that she used to encapture
Oh,
Michael.
right.
And she wanted to find out how to do it. And her mom told her, you know, you have to there has to be balance, you know, in order to stop his heart, you have to stop a human heart. So they touched on that, but we never found out whose heart Abby had to stop. Like, what did she have to do in order to trap Michael like that? Because whatever it was major, and it caused her to flee and leave her husband and her child.
Oh, so there's another
So
story possibility there.
yeah, because we never found out what that was for her, who it was for her. You know, we know. When the situation came up with Bonnie for Elena, okay, we all knew Jeremy was going to step in there. That was, I mean, Elena wouldn't have had, it would have been Jeremy, it would have been Matt, it would have been any one of those coming in to save Elena. But who was the person who Abby had to, you know,
Do we know
whose
Bonnie's
heart Abby
father?
had to stop? No, we've never seen him. Never seen him. So, and this was the other thing I kind of wondered because, you know, and you know, I had this discussion with Daryl and he told me I was making his head hurt because I was confusing him. Okay, so the Bennett bloodline is where the witches come from, right? Okay, so there was Sheila Bennett, and you would assume since Bonnie's last name is Bennett that that is her dad, that Sheila was her dad's mother, right?
Oh.
So how is Abby part of the Bennett bloodline if she married into it? Or is it a situation where Abby and Bonnie's father were not married?
Yeah. I think the simplest answer we're going to go with is that maybe he was a bad dad and
No, he's not the bad dad because technically speaking on the show, that's who Bonnie stays with. That's who raised her. Her dad
well,
is
Well, because
she lives
then
with,
if the
you know?
Mom left, then there was no chance for marriage. So she probably just, you know, usually the mom gives the kids the mom's name sometime. I don't know. But I think it would be easier than that than the whole, unless they're going to write a really good twisted flip around story to where it's the dad's bloodline. But I think the easiest thing to go with is just that, you know, they never married.
Yeah.
Because the witch thing actually runs through the mother's bloodline.
Yeah, because see, that will be the other thing, because here it is. Okay, if Abby is Sheila's daughter, then that makes you even more of a douche because you didn't even know your own mom was dead. You know, you asked Bonnie about Graham, and she's like, Graham's dead.
Yeah.
So
she
that
seems
that
she was
busy.
Pretty removed from her family, so.
Yeah,
so,
sad. Oh, well.
But, I mean, I like what you said about Bonnie going into the dark side. She is making a lot of compromises to, you know, in the name of honor or in the name of doing the right thing. But this last thing with Klaus was a little out of the box, right? Like, who was she saying?
I don't know if disappointed is the word or shocked.
Maybe irritated.
That too, but I just know that she has, right now she's become on that, you know, she's kind of put herself on that, you know, characters I don't really care for list. You know, she's right over, I don't know, it's just something about her character is kind of rubbing me the wrong way right now, and maybe if I go back and rewatch the season and kind of paint, you know, of course now that I know what's going to happen and how it ends, I can kind of go back and watch and kind of look for more clues, because you know sometimes when you go back and do a second watch you kind of catch things that you missed the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So but I don't know, something about her character is just not rubbing me the right way.
I don't know, to me it feels like they're trying to force her into the storyline anyway, right? It seems like they don't know what to do with her character and they're just kind of haphazardly coming up with stories to make her
I kind of agree with that.
So no, that's terror. I was like, didn't you say she was a redhead and blah blah? No, that's True Blood. But
no, actually, that was in the books. Bonnie was a redheaded witch.
Oh, okay.
She's a little white redheaded girl, and her ancestors were not from Salem. They were. I can't think it.
Yeah. Regardless, they come up with a lot of stuff with her character, and it's like they're running out of stuff to do with it. And I think that's probably why she's on a shaky path, because you know she didn't really have any direction, and she's kind of partially made up. Then, if you, am I right? Or I mean, is that scratching?
No, I kind of agree. I kind of agree. It's kind of like. Like you said, I think there is, it's just kind of, they need to come up with something a little more creative with her. They need to, especially on the romance side.
Oh, God,
because
it's
like, first she's into Luca, and then she's into Jeremy, and she's all in love with Jeremy, and then all of a sudden she just, you know, she gets upset and breaks up with him because of a ghost. Like, really?
Well, they broke up and they got broken up. He lied to her. And then Elena erases his mind and sends him off before they really got a chance to reconcile. So that kind of puts them in an awkward place. But yeah, then she falls in love with a guy that's been raised by her mother, which is weird because that's kind of like her brother. And then it's bizarre. But I think like Lafayette for True Blood, they just don't know what to do with her character. And they're coming up with these convenient things to use her as a plot device and to move the story along, but they're not really developing her. And so that could be one of the reasons why she's rubbing you the wrong way, but it just could be her. But I don't know. I want to see her do something else or be something else. I don't know. But.
Yeah, because I feel like her character has the potential to be so much more than what they're giving her right now.
Well, it is called the Vampire Diaries and not the Witch Diaries. So I think they're probably just going to use her in some sort of stupid way. And I think eventually they're going to kill her off. She lasted this long is really surprising to me, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, I think at the end of the first season, too.
Yeah, because they just kind of lightly used her. I mean, she showed up halfway into this season or last season or something. She just wasn't really used. And then now that she is being used, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, she's like all powerful witch now.
Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe they'll keep her around. And maybe, because I thought she was going to be like a kick-ass witch like Willow from Buffy. You know, how mm-hmm. Willow just kind of got in there and did a whole bunch of stuff. But I don't know. We don't know. Let's see, who else? So,
I want to know what's going to happen with the rest of the originals, because Mom is in a pine box.
Is she alive or dead? I forget. Is she alive or dead?
I think she's still alive. I think they put her in the box.
Oh, okay, so she's just traveling again. Okay. What about the other siblings? Are they still alive or no? Or are they roaming around or doing their own thing or what?
Rebecca, I think Finn is the only one who was actually killed. Rebecca, Elijah, and Cole are still alive, although Cole we didn't see much of towards the end, but they still talked about him when it came time for them to leave and for them to, quote-unquote, rally behind Klaus. You know, he was talking about, you know, they all three of them would still rally behind him because they were his family. So Cole is still in the picture, his little arrogant, cute self. But but yeah, we just, you know, didn't see much of him, which I'm kind of glad, because I think that would have been too much to try to integrate him too much into the storyline. It's like when it was the rest of the family and they were all together, it was kind of cool. But now, okay, you guys have kind of overstayed your welcome. Let's get back to the original storyline at hand. So, you know, I'm kind of glad that they handled his character the way that they were supposed to. You know, he came in, he did what he was supposed to do. He tracked Jeremy. He got his butt kicked. Let's move on.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to figure out what, now that the doppelganger's gone and her blood is tainted because she's a vampire, what's Klaus going to do now?
Yeah.
Like, what's his purpose? What's his point of even being on the show? And I kind of thought it was just a tiny bit ridiculous for him to, like, not have abandoned the whole thing, you know, after so many losses and stuff.
Well, you know how bad guys are. Mm. They don't give up. That's kind of what makes them interesting. They don't give up. Even when you think they should, they don't give up. I mean, think about it. He was going to sit there and drain Elena dry.
Yeah.
You know, even though if you drain me dry, well, you know, he tried, but he didn't expect Tyler to have broken that fire bond. That's what threw him off, because Tyler came back to save her, and, you know, that's when he realized there was no fire bond. And by the time he figured it out and was about to get Tyler, Stefan and Damon were there. They were able to take him down.
Yeah.
But Tyler kind of put a kink in that plan. But, you know, it's kind of like the whole, you know, I think back to The Incredibles, you know, the whole monologuing thing. You know, you could have just drained her and been done with it and killed her, but you had to sit there and talk and tell her what you were going to do and why you were going to drain her, and it's like I'm sitting here the whole time listening like, didn't you watch The Incredibles? Syndrome says stop. But hey, if that had happened, then we wouldn't have Elena the Vampire to look forward to. So let's just kind of hope, you know, I kind of hope she's kind of like Caroline, because Caroline as a human could not stand a character. I think we had this discussion several times on the show. Could not stand Caroline as a human. Once she turned into a vampire and kind of got into her own and figured things out, love her character. Love her, love her, love her. Elena had gotten to the point where I really started to compare her with Bella.
Oh.
You know, and it's just, it's, you know, and she just really kind of to a point started getting irritating. Okay, here it is. All these people are dying for you. All these people are getting hurt for you, getting captured for you, getting turned into vampires for you to save you. And here you are in love with two people, and you can't figure out which one, and you don't want to give up one because I really, like, towards the end, I was like, oh, my God, I'm watching Twilight. Really? You know,
I know. It actually felt like Twilight because she got turned into a vampire. I was like, oh, my God, this is so Twilight, but I don't care. I love it.
I mean, still, I still love this story better than I did, you know, the way Twilight turned out, which, you know, that's a whole other story. But, I mean, there are just so many things about Vampire Diaries that kind of made everything interesting. The whole, you know, again, the whole background on how the original vampires came to be, I loved that story.
And
that was one of the most original takes I'd heard on how vampires got started, and I loved the way that they told it. You know, so those kind of things, and just kind of the way that they kind of brought in the witches, you know, just introducing them here and there, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, you have the whole thing with the witches on the little, what is that, the old house? I forgot which house that was where all the witches were burned to death.
Oh, yeah.
And they, you know, all that energy is harvested. You know, all that kind of stuff is interesting. So it's like they keep it interesting, but it's like you said, kind of when it gets back to the whole Elena, Stefan, Dana thing now, it's just kind of like, okay, will you make up your mind already?
I think season 3 by far to me is my favorite. It's the most interesting. It had the most action. It did not have, I don't think they showed the diaries once. You remember when the first season they showed the diary and her writing it and everything? I was just going to barf all over myself if they kept that up and they, you know, dispensed with that. No, they had the diary when they were reading out of the Ripper's diary or something, but that was something, it wasn't sappy, you know what I'm saying?
It wasn't teenage soap opera type thing.
Yeah.
It was, you know, oh, I will say this too. One of my favorite things about the season finale, the flashbacks with the Gilberts.
The what?
The way they kind of, the flashbacks, Elena's flashbacks from, you know, the day her parents died. And I loved the way they did that. And then, like, the whole scene when she's in the truck, when her and Matt are in the truck and they're drowning, and then they kind of kept going back and forth between when she was in the truck with her, when she was in the car with her parents, and then she's in the car with Matt, and how Stefan is the one that's saving, you know, trying to save her in the first one, trying to save her in the second one, and just kind of that part
good.
Of the story, I loved it. And I also, okay, towards that end, that kind of made me respect Elena as a character even more. You know, it just kind of brought me back to, okay, I kind of like her because she's not, you know, in the end, she's not selfish. She knows Stefan would have saved her. She knows that. I mean, he even almost ignored her, but she was like, no, get Matt out of here. Get him out. Get him out.
So what irritated me about that scene is that he could have got them both.
I think so too, but at the same time, I kind of think, you know, even though you're a vampire and you have superhuman strength, it's still hard enough to carry one person.
They're
in
water. They float.
Yeah, but you know, when you have to drag somebody that's dead weight, it's
not
a lot
water.
Harder.
Not in water. You're lighter in water.
I don't know.
No,
I don't
lighter
know.
In water. You can pick up 500 pounds in water, but once you get out of water, you can't do it. Matt is not that light. Vampires do not need to breathe. He could have got both of them. And that irritated me because the mechanics of it was just stupid. Because like any other movie, if it was like the beginning of the movie or the beginning of the episode or anything like that, he would have got them both. But because they needed to be dramatic and they needed her to be a vampire and they needed her to die, they did this whole, well, you know, let me wait and try to hold my breath and blah, 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 while he saves Matt and he takes like 5 minutes just to do that. Like, that. He has super speed. He can run really fast. He's a vampire. He's practically a superhero. That just did not make sense. And then...
But, you know, I don't know about that part, too, because if you think about it, when Damon was on his way to go dump Klaus's body and they figured out that something was going to happen, you know, Stefan told Damon, he said, well, that doesn't give you enough time. And Damon's like, what, to get rid of Klaus? He's like, no, to come say goodbye to Elena. And it's like, I thought about that too. You're a vampire. Dump his body in the ocean and run back. But I guess maybe even though we know this is not realistic, maybe the way they're writing those vampires, they have limits still.
I don't know. I'm thinking about Eric Northman and him being able to fly or run fast.
Yeah, but, you know, different show, different writers, you know.
I know. But you have a little bit more strength than that. And then, let's say fine that he had to do it the way he did it. Why not, when he brought Elena up on shore, bite his fucking arm, put it in her mouth, bring her back? Right
but
away.
If she was already dead, she wouldn't have. I mean, she had started to float in the water, so she was already gone at that point. So she wouldn't, even if he had cut, you know, even if he had done that, if she's already dead, she's not going to ingest it, so it wouldn't have made any difference. But I think maybe there were some limitations there, because I think at that point, Stefan had stopped feeding on live blood again. So maybe he wasn't as strong as he would have been,
okay.
which will also explain why when he first came to town and he first saved Elena when her parents' car went under, why he didn't pull both her and her father to safety when they were both alive.
Stefan just could be stupid and not have the ability to multitask. Because, like, how hard is it to pull two floating humans out of a car when you're a vampire? I don't think it's that hard at all, personally, but, you know, whatever.
Like I said, maybe they have more limitations than we're used to with vampires. Who knows? Maybe they're a little, I don't know, a little more human, you know.
Whatever.
Who knows? Damon, just break your heart coming into the, it's like, once he realized Rick was dying and why Rick was dying,
oh.
And he called him, and he's like, no, don't be dead, you can't be dead. It's like, on the one hand, you think he's talking about Alaric, but you know he's talking about Elena, because he's realizing, okay, if you're dying, that means she's dying.
Yeah.
And here he is, hundreds of miles away, and then when he walks into the hospital, he's like, where is she? Where is she? Take me to her. I'm just like, me and my daughter sitting here, we're just boohooing, like, oh. And then Stefan's sitting there next to her body, and he's crying, and it's just like, I just can't do this. This is too emotional for me. I can't. First, we get Tyler dying, and Tyler and Caroline. Okay, I will say this. At first, I was not too sure about them as a couple, but they have become, like, one of my favorite couples. I think they're so cute together. I like her better with him than I ever did with her and Matt.
Yeah, I think her and Tyler are very sexy together.
Very, 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 yes. But that whole scene with them saying goodbye to each other, that was just, you know, when she came to him and told him Klaus was dead and how she was crying, and she was just, oh, that was just, I told you, I felt like I needed a therapist after I got done with the season. It was like, there's just too much going on. I'm just too invested in these characters.
I didn't shed a tear. I think the biggest emotion I had, I was a little sad for Lark because I like his character. I love his face. I like his hair. I just like that guy. And so, I didn't want to see him go because it's like, yeah, Jenna just died. I mean, come on, let's, you know, calm down.
Yeah.
But
I cried for his first death. I cried for the tomb death before Bonnie came in. I cried for that one a lot harder than I did from when he was, I guess because at the same time, he was trying to kill Damon at that point. So I was just kind of like, oh, he's dying now. So he's evil. So who cares? But
no,
that
I think
one
I
in
got
the tomb
sad.
Where Damon was with him and, you know, they're drinking and they're talking and I was just like, you know, all the bromance this season, I loved it.
I didn't buy that.
You know, Damon and Alaric and then Damon and Stefan.
I did not buy it. I did not buy it. I knew he was coming back. The thing that got me, that got a little water in my eye, is when he appeared to Jeremy as a ghost. Because when I knew, and I was just like, damn it, man. He's not real. Oh, no.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like it took Jeremy a minute to kind of figure it out. And it's like, you could tell once he figured it out that he didn't want to believe it, because now he realizes, oh, wait, if you're dead, that means my sister is dead as well. So, you know, just kind of, you got to kind of wonder what Jeremy is going through at this point. It's like, Jeremy don't have nobody left now.
That's true. But you know what I thought they were going to do with Elena? Like, I thought, like, oh, my God, her heart is going to stop for, like, 5 seconds. Alaric's going to die. Then they're going to, like, you know, get the defibrillator and put it on her chest and then blah, blah. That's what I expected.
Yeah.
Then I got a vampire, and I was just so excited.
Yeah. Me and my daughters, too, we're sitting there watching it. And it's like as soon as Meredith said, you know, she was telling Daniel, she said, you know, her injuries were more serious than I let on. Jeremy doesn't know, but she needed my help. You know, she had a cerebral hemorrhage. She needed my help. She was like, do you understand me? She needed my help. I said, oh, shit, she gave her vampire blood. And my daughter is like, she said, are you sure? I said, she said she needed her help. And then when they showed Elena sitting there on the table, I automatically knew what was about to happen. But even so, when she went, oh, me and my daughter went, yes! It was crazy. My son came out because Michael watches Vampire Diaries, but he had been so behind that he didn't know what was going on. So he came in the room. He's like, what happened? No, I'm not telling you. He was like, I need to catch up. And you have to remember, Michael was only 9.
Totally
invested in it. He was totally invested in the show. So after the season finale, a couple of days later, he went to his dad's house. They finally caught up on all the shows. You know, his sister sat with him. She let him catch up. He called me on the phone. Mama. Elena's a vampire now? I said, yes, because he was really upset that she had died. You know, he's kind of like us. He's like, that's not fair. She died. Why did she die? Why did they let her die? You know, so it was funny, but we were so glad that she became a vampire. We're like, oh, it's on and popping now. Season 4 is going to be so good.
I never expected this show to last. I thought it was just going to be a Twilight ripoff, and it was just going to die a miserable death, this show. But it's truly, truly holding its own.
Because they really do have great writers.
They do.
They do. They find ways to keep the show interesting and fresh, and you know, it's really good writing. And you know, it's funny because I started rewatching the first season a couple of weeks ago. I was sitting at home bored one day, and my Netflix wasn't really working right, and I didn't have any movies to watch. And I'm like, okay, what can I watch? And I'm flipping through. I'm like, oh, let me rewatch first season of Vampire Diaries. And it's so weird looking at the first season now because the acting has gotten so much better. It's like now you can really feel like they know their characters. They're really comfortable with who their characters are. And, you know, you kind of see the growth with all of them, especially like Stefan's character. And he hinted at this last year when I went to the Vampire Diaries convention. He hinted about Stefan taking a darker turn because this was before season 3. So he hinted that Stefan was going to be taking a darker turn, like way darker. He hinted that, you know, it would kind of be a reverse between him and Damon and how things were going to turn out. He said, but I think you guys will like it. And he was not joking. He said, you know, he felt more comfortable playing that because he felt like he could give another dimension to Stefan than we had seen from the books. And he was like, it was so much fun playing that side of him. And you can really tell it. He loved being evil. He loved it. I mean, it really came across on screen. It's like when you look at first season, sappy, conflicted Stefan, and, you know, even towards the end of this season, okay, he had gotten over the bad part. And he had gotten back to kind of sort of broody Stefan, but it was a different type of broody Stefan. You know, it was one that I didn't mind watching, that, you know, you didn't mind kind of sitting through while he was trying to figure out what he needed to do to get Elena back, or just kind of giving her some space to figure out what she wanted. It was a different type of Stefan, and you know, I don't think he would have been able to pull that off first season, but he did it brilliantly this season. I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
You know, but just the character growth from, I mean, Caroline and even Bonnie's character. I mean, looking at Jeremy from season one to now, like a completely different person. Completely different.
Wow. Yeah, so, I totally forgot about
Because, you know, in first season, he was kind of like, he was like a cute kid. He was like a kid. And it's like now, he's kind of like, hi, Jeremy, you know, Jeremy's a hump now. He's big and bad, and he's talking back to Stefan and David, and he's,
at some point, you just get tired of people's stuff, and you have to just, grow it up. But yeah, so Vampire Diaries, very good show in this season, and I look forward to it next year. Do we have to wait a whole year?
No. September.
September. Okay.
September. Yeah.
Because they split the seasons in half now.
CW, we don't usually have a big wait. It's always the cable shows that we have the year long wait.
Okay.
You know, like the Game of Thrones and the True Bloods and the Spartacuses and, those are the shows that we have to wait like 50 million years, like probably by the time once Game of Thrones ends this season, by the time it comes on next season, I'll probably be eligible for retirement,
Oh my God.
I mean, I don't understand that with cable shows, why the hiatuses have to be so freaking long.
It's so short.
It is. Like, really, I'm so excited for True Blood Season 5, but I feel like I need to go back and watch True Blood Season 4 because aside from some bits and pieces, I don't remember a lot.
Well, maybe.
I don't remember a lot.
Maybe I'll do that, but you got a month to do it. You got a month to do it.
No, not even a month. It starts next Sunday.
Weeks. Yeah, oh.
Not even 2 weeks because today is, it starts next week, I think, next Sunday.
Oh my God.
If I'm not mistaken.
The True Blood crack begins.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Back from our break, and we're going to talk about Supernatural. Woo! So let me say the first thing. Let me tell you the first thing that I was impressed with the finale. We have not heard "Carry On, My Wayward Son" in like two years.
Oh yes, yes. I mean, when that came on, I teared up. I was like, oh my God, they got the song. It's like, I don't know, something about that song. They play it now, I think, every season finale. And then I think maybe at the beginning of the season, I think I remember hearing it, or they played something else. But it's like, as soon, I don't know, I think within Supernatural fandom, once you start hearing those words, "Carry On, My Wayward Son," it's like, it sends a chill up your arms because you're just like,
you know it's about to go down.
There is such a nostalgia associated with that song in the Supernatural fandom. I don't know what it is, but it's just like when it started singing, I got chills up my arm.
I bought the song on iTunes, so I listen to it occasionally, and I listened to it like the other day, and I was like, ooh, I'm getting ready to watch Supernatural, and I was just singing it in my head, you know, I was just, "Carry on my way." And then, so what happened, when I start, press play to watch the show, they started playing, and I was like, am I imagining this, or are they actually playing the song, and they're playing it, and I was just, I needed that. That is Supernatural. That's their theme song.
Yes, but I have a bone to pick with the writers for Supernatural. I need to get this off my chest.
Okay, so this is season 7 we're talking about. We're talking about the whole season. Spoilers. Don't cry to me if you get spoiled. Go, Hanako.
How in the hell are you going to make us watch Bobby die? Not once, but twice. You make us watch him die twice.
I have no words.
You know what? Granted, we only watched him die that second time, but just having to go through that whole Bobby is dead thing two times, you know, first we went through it after he got shot. And after he, you know, he said that last famous word, idiot, and then he was gone. And it's like, at first, you're kind of like, is he still here? Is he gone? But when Dean and Sam talked about giving him a hunter's funeral, like they burned his body, that just tore into me so bad. And I was just like, okay, I'm glad they didn't put that on there, because I don't think I would have been able to handle seeing them burn Bobby. It's like, okay, we saw them burn John. We saw them burn Rufus. We saw them burn their brother. It's just kind of, you know, we saw Ellen and Joe kind of, you know, blow up or whatever. So it's kind of like, okay, we're used to that. I don't think I could have handled a Bobby funeral. But then he comes back and it's like, yay. And then he goes all vengeful spirit. And Dean and Sam are talking about having to get rid of him. And it's like, y'all are not going to, again, like I said, another show where I felt like I needed therapy after the season was done. Who's like, they're making us watch him? No.
I disliked the fact that nobody was on Bobby's side. So he stayed as a ghost, and not one of them was like fighting for him. I wanted to see like a conflict between either Sam or Dean where somebody didn't care if he was vengeful or not, but they wanted to keep him around. But no, they both, you know, treated him awkwardly. They both were not really happy to see. And I understand that they're hunters and that, you know, he's dead, he's gone, he can't do this. They know the outcome, but neither one of them were like super happy to see him, and they treated him like he was weird. And I did not enjoy that. Because it's freaking Bobby.
I didn't enjoy it either, but I think at the same time, it's like when they first realized he was there, I think you could kind of see it's like they were happy, but they didn't want to show that they were happy. I mean, I really saw the conflict within them. It's like they would talk about it, and they're like, you know, and it's kind of like at different times you have Dean on one side and Sam on the other, and then they kind of switch, and it's like,
but it was so subtle.
It was Bobby.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was too subtle for me. It was Bobby. They needed some passion about the guy that stuck around after their dad. And, you know, all these years, he was their go-to guy. He was their go-to guy for a long time. Then I thought maybe he got replaced with Frank. Frank got gat. You know, or torn apart or whatever.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be the guy. So they don't have a guy to go to. And it's like, well, I don't know what you're doing. I mean, I would, like, if one of my family members were to show up right now, I'd be freaked out, but I'd be really happy to see him, and I would not want him to go. We'd have to have a talk. I'd have to burn whatever talisman I had of him eventually, but it would be a little bit warmer than what Sam and Dean were doing.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess I think maybe after everything they went through with last season, like with Cass kind of going dark side, you know, I just don't think they wanted that for Bobby.
And
they knew that it was
there. Yeah.
You know, I think they knew it was going to be there. And they kept warning him. And Bobby himself even said at the end, he was like, I thought I knew enough to beat this. You know, I thought I knew enough to avoid this whole thing, you know, shows what I know. Or, you know, he said something, you know, kind of like stupid me. But, you know, I just think that's probably what it was. After what they went through with Cass, you know, going crazy, you know, having his little godlike complex, trying to kill everybody, destroy everybody. You know, I think they just kind of, you know, it's like when the person that you love the most ends up being something you may have to hunt, I don't think they wanted that, because if Bobby had really gone dark, then they would have had to be the one to deal with that and to put him out. And I don't think they wanted that.
That's true.
And they knew that, you know, they knew eventually that was what was going to happen, especially with the manner that Bobby died. You know, it's not like he just died a regular death and he was just chilling. No, he was murdered.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think with them being through as much as they've been through, they just didn't want to go through that, and they didn't want to have to be the one to say, we have got to get rid of him.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was kind of good in that way that Bobby was the one who had to tell them, you guys need to do this and seriously, you should have done this from the beginning. You should have done this as soon as you knew I was back. You should have done this. You know, he even told them once they burned him, they should have gotten rid of the flask. You know, so, but, you know, I don't know. I just, they burned the flask, but it's like there's so much other stuff of Bobby's that they have that probably has his DNA on it. So I'm kind of wondering, have we really seen the last of him? They still have all his notebooks.
I don't want to see Bobby die a third time. Just let it go.
Yeah, I really don't either. But
at this point, I'm exhausted. If Bobby pops back up, then I'm going to be the weird person like, oh, my God. Oh, I have to lose you yet again. No. Hell no. So
yeah,
he brought
so.
Up Castiel. He went through a lot this season. He went from being like Jesus to dead, then amnesia, and now he's the Rain Man. And
yeah, he's just,
I don't know.
I don't even know. Just some of the stuff, like, really, Castiel, I did not need that information about a cat penis, but thanks.
I knew that already. It's just that, like, dude, please, would you just calm down? Let's not play too
And it's like, Misha Collins is, he's silly anyway. I mean, if you ever see him at a convention or on stage or just talking, he's silly anyway. I need to know, I'm going to have to get that DVD set because I want to see those bloopers. I need to know how he kept a straight pace saying some of the lines that Castiel delivered in the last couple of... Because I couldn't have done it. And if you ever look at the bloopers, you know that Jensen and Jared and Misha, they are like three of the silliest people on the set. So they're always messing with each other. They're always, you know, trying to get each other to mess up their lines, to laugh or whatever. I think Jim Beaver was telling us at one point in time, he said that there was one of the episodes where Bobby was in the hospital, and he's sitting there saying a line to you know, Sam and Dean, and while he's saying the line, Jared Padalecki is sitting there pinching his feet. And he's just trying to get him to mess up, and he's still trying to say this line while his feet are getting pinched. So they're always being silly on the set doing stuff. I just didn't know how Misha Collins kept his face straight saying some of those lines. You know, talking about the bees and the flowers, and then, of course, the cat, you know, that cat. It,
yeah.
I just don't know how he kept his face. I know for a fact that the female cats weren't informed about that. I mean, how do you say this kind of stuff with a straight face and not crack up? I don't even want to know how many lines how many takes that took, but it was just, it was weird because it's like, I don't know, in some ways it kind of reminded me of new Castiel when he first came because Castiel didn't have a sense of humor. He didn't have a grasp on, you know, what sayings meant and stuff. And it's kind of like you see it again, but in a totally different way.
Bizarre.
And it was weird, but it was funny. But at the same time, you could kind of see glimpses of the real cast. So I think a lot of that probably was just a front to kind of keep them, because here's the thing. Okay, this is the other thing. My oldest, you know, both of my daughters are 16 and 14, and they both love Supernatural. They both watch with me every week. And my oldest daughter came to my younger daughter and myself, and she said, "Am I the only person who doesn't like Dean right now?" And I said, "No, he's, you know, he's kind of getting on my nerves." She's like, she said, as much as he's been through and the stuff that he's done, she said, "I don't understand why he's so hard on Castiel." She said, "He is so mean to Castiel." And it's like when Castiel was gone, when he thought Castiel was dead, he was so sad. He was this, he was that. But as soon as Castiel comes back, he's always on him all the time. He's like so mean and so nasty. So I'm like, you know, when you really sit here and think about it and you think about the ways that Dean talks to Cast, he really is a dick towards him. And it's like, I like him as a character, but really, the way that he does interact with Castiel, I hate it.
I think it was your theory, or maybe my theory, somebody, one of our theories, that Dean was God. So God has been a dick to, like, the whole planet. So why wouldn't if Dean is.
Oh,
gone.
That wasn't my theory. That must have been yours. Cause that must have been you on another episode. Cause that's the first I've ever heard of that one. But you know, that's kind of interesting. Would be kind of interesting, but
that ship is already, with Dean being God, that ship has sailed already. So, that was before Castiel was actually looking for God. That maybe I thought, ooh, Dean could be God, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, now that we know that stuff didn't come to light,
yeah.
Dean is not. But I don't know. Yeah, he is kind of, I guess, mean to him. But, I mean, he's a freaking angel with superpowers. Castiel needs to be a little bit more open. He needs to be a little bit more serious. I mean,
yeah.
Like you have powers to smite us and to lead us, and you could do so much with them, and you're messing around. It's like, just come on. So I do understand that he's being mean in a sense that, you know, if Castiel was a dog or a kitten and something, he'd be kicking him. But Castiel is an angel, for crying out loud. He needs to, you know, grow some nads and do the thing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you think about what happened the last time he did that. He kind of had a God complex. You know, he went around smiting people and killing folks. And
the nads were too big in that instance.
Yeah, they were too big. So I think he needs to learn a little balance. But,
what's your name?
I don't know. We'll see how it goes next season. I will say this. I'm kind of glad Dick Roman is out the picture. Oh. He was getting on my nerves.
I'm sick of the Leviathan.
Although I did like all of the innuendos regarding the name, you know, it was kind of funny to hear them, but at the same time, Dick Roman just as a character, the Leviathans really kind of started getting on my nerves. They were not my favorite supervillains for the show.
Yeah, they weren't mine either. They kind of got on my nerves. You couldn't really kill them. They had the big teeth mouth thing, which, like, really, how much money did you spend on that every week showing that? I would rather put the money somewhere else. I don't know. I think they had a lot of the other episodes that kind of took away from the Leviathan that kind of were important, like the Penny Whistle episode and the episode where Dean wanted to put on the ballerina shoes and Party on Garth. That was good. So they had a lot of good episodes to kind of take away from the Leviathan, but this was no Apocalypse. This was no, you know, end of the world stuff like that they usually have to deal with. So
yeah,
I don't know. It I can't say it's my favorite season, but I didn't hate it either.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think, I will agree with that. I will agree with that. Now we've got Purgatory coming up, you know, as far as, you know, they're
so it's not hell. It's not hell.
It's not hell. It's, but, you know, it's kind of, we're probably going to be seeing a lot more monsters. And then now we've got, you know, Sam is on his own totally. There's no Bobby for backup. There's no Frank. There's no Rufus. There's no Ellen, no Joe, no Castiel.
He has Garth. You know, I was also thinking that nobody from first season is here.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
And then the only person that they've met that's partially here is Castiel, but he's crazy. They have Garth.
And Meg is gone back to, you know, I think Crowley has her.
Yeah. So I don't know. Well, I don't know.
I'm kind of glad. I don't really care for this particular Meg. You know, you have your actresses or your characters and, you know, the ones that kind of change, you kind of have your favorites and your not favorites. She is not my favorite Meg. I like the old Meg better.
Yeah, she's, you know, not, I think, just flashy or
she, whatever she talks, it's just kind of irritating to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, but sneaky.
Yeah, I didn't really like her either. It's just like I wanted her to kick more ass, but she was kind of monotone, and she was trying to be the sultry but dangerous type of woman, and it's just just on with it, would you please? You're killing me. And I don't know, maybe they'll replace her or whatever, but maybe somebody likes her, and that's why we've seen so much of that particular Meg. I don't know. But what I don't want is for Dean to come out of purgatory like he came out of hell, or like Dean to come out of hell like Sam came out of hell, and we have to deal with the whining for an entire season. I don't want anything to be left over in their brain. I don't want to hear about it because they've both been to hell. They've both been depressed. And you know what? Like, let's not do they're going to come out of someplace bad, depressed. Let's not do an apocalypse. I don't know what the hell they're going to do because we've done the apocalypse for 7 years, right? And we just can't do, I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, where do you go now? Okay, the whole purgatory thing, it kind of sparks my interest because purgatory is not, you know, even in the real world, when people talk about the world ending and destruction, there's always heaven and hell, there's apocalypse, there's Armageddon. Nobody really talks about purgatory. So it's kind of unknown territory. So I'm kind of interested to see where they're going to go with that.
I thought we saw purgatory, and purgatory was a long-ass line that you waited in. And then once you get to the beginning of the line or the front of the line, you have to go back to the end of the line, and that was purgatory.
See, I don't even remember that. The only thing I remember about purgatory is the whole Eve thing. The mother of all thing from the last season.
Yeah, that was in the same season. What I'm just described to you, that was in the same season.
Okay.
You don't remember that? Okay. He went down with Crowley, and they were like, this is purgatory, and it was this long-ass line of people. And they were like, yeah, we got this purgatory right here. These people standing in line.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. So okay, I thought that was purgatory, and like, why does purgatory have monsters in? He's like, well, this is the part of purgatory where monsters come to hunt each other. And I was like, all right. What?
Okay, so I guess it's kind of sort of, it's probably like the way that they describe heaven there, like everybody's heaven is different. Like, you know, ashes was the roadhouse, and, you know, so maybe it's the same thing with purgatory. Maybe it's the same thing with hell, the way they describe it, because it's like Dean had one type of hell, Sam had another, because, you know, Dean was tortured, and then he became the torturer, you know, with Alistair, and then Sam was trapped in the box with Lucifer and Michael, so maybe it's just kind of a different take on purgatory, like something, you know, I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see, and I kind of want to know how they're going to do it. But it's kind of like now it's gotten to the point where I still love the show, but it's kind of like, okay, where can you go after this? You know, originally the show was only supposed to go for 5 seasons, so the fact that we're going into a season 8 is outstanding in and of itself,
it's
but
ridiculous.
Really, where can you go after this? Like you said, there's nobody left from the original, from the first two seasons. Everybody is pretty much gone. Everybody that Sam and Dean rely on is gone. All of their contacts, all of their fellow hunters, the ones that they trusted, the ones that looked out for them, everybody's gone. So it's now just them two, and now really, it's just Sam, because Castiel and Dean are gone. They're in purgatory.
Castiel disappeared to somewhere, so you don't know where he is, really. And then Castiel
is still in there.
Oh.
I think he's still down there. Because I really don't think if he had the ability to get out of there and take Dean with him, I don't think he would have left Dean there. But then again, I don't know. Dean's been such a dick to him. Maybe he's
he went on to like, ooh, I got you this burger, so you can have this burger. Yay. You know, he probably did something really stupid.
I don't know, because, like I said, I really think in some ways that whole crazy person, that whole Looney Tunes bit that Castiel was doing, I really think in some ways that was kind of an act. And he kind of even hinted at that, you know, he remembers what he did last time and he didn't want to do that again. That's why he kind of kept himself out of things. He didn't want to get involved. But when it came down to it, he told Dean, if you need me, I'm here. I'm in.
Well, but it's like, I don't know, Purgatory with a lot of monsters thinks he's going to need him to not disappear on him.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that goes. But I think there's more to Castillo than he's letting on. I just think he's just, you know.
So he's a transformer more than meets the eye right now.
You know, I wouldn't even say transformer. I just think he's kind of he's trying to play it smart. You know, it's kind of like you don't let your enemy see how strong you are, how smart you are. You kind of give them, you know, because like Crowley now thinks that he's off his rocker.
That's true.
So, you know, so if you think about it, the person, you're going to perceive somebody like that as not as much of a threat. You know, so it's kind of like, okay, everybody thinks Cass is crazy now. He's kind of off the radar. So nobody's really paying him attention. The garrison is not paying him any attention. The king of hell is not paying him any attention. Sam and Dean are not really paying him attention. Nobody looks at him as a threat anymore. He's just kind of like there. So he's free now to kind of pay attention, observe, see what's going on. And then, you know, if things, you know, if shit really starts to hit the fan, then he can kind of step in and make it known.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So, I think it's kind of a knack.
I'll go with that, you know, because what else are we going to do until next season? You know, we'll see what they're actually up to. What I want to see, though, because they said they were going to do it this season, was get the boys to, you know, go old school and do some old-fashioned hunting again. Because they have to have some urban legends left to hunt.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I want to see that. Also, I want to bring the gods back. Like, how funny would it be to bring in, like, Thor and kick his ass or something? You know, because
if Thor, Chris Hemsworth, they can get
him. I don't think they'll get Chris Hemsworth, but they'll probably get, like, some really, you know how they had Cupid was, like, some really fat old guy that was ridiculous looking or whatever.
Yeah,
so it'd be kind of great to see. Because they had gods, but they, like, killed off some of the, they might have killed off Thor already, I'm not sure. But, you know, bring in those gods again. I like seeing the gods, or, you know, gods from, I don't know where, like, Greek, wherever, Roman, wherever they can get them from. Just bring in some more gods, bring in some more, you know, mythology. I'm pretty sure we'll have to have another apocalypse where the whole world is blah, blah, blah.
I think they've kind of overdone the whole apocalypse thing. I really wouldn't be mad if they kind of left that alone.
Yeah, but then what else would they do, though?
Yeah, but, you know, that's kind of going back to what I said. Okay, it's like, I like the show. I love the stories that they've told, but it's kind of like, okay, what are you going to do after this? Like, how are you going to keep it interesting? How are you going to keep it from repeating itself? It's like, okay, we can only see Sam or Dean go to hell, go to purgatory, leave, not be themselves. You can only go through that cycle so much.
Yeah,
you know, we've been through the cycles where they pretty much sacrifice themselves to save the other person. And, you know, that whole, I don't know. It's just like, what more can you do? What can you do to keep the show fresh? What
they're
can
gonna
you do
have to
keep
think,
the show interesting?
They're going to have to go way outside of the box. Now, I don't want them to go so far outside of the box that, like, Stargate SG-1 went, because they went way too far. Like, in the last three seasons where they, I don't know, it was like searching for King Arthur and Merlin, and I don't know what the hell they were doing in the last few seasons of SG-1.
I think I kind of checked out right around the time that Richard Dean Anderson left Stargate.
Yeah.
I think I may have watched for another season. And then after that, like, last two seasons, I really don't think I really paid much attention to. So it's like, I don't even remember some of that stuff. But, you know, I get what you're saying. It just kind of got to a point where it's like, okay, I think it's time to hang it up. Like, you guys are reaching. So I really don't want that to happen with Supernatural, because I think, you know, the show has been good. It's like the show lasted so much longer than everybody expected. Like, they, you know, I remember the days when they tried to get the show canceled, you know, after the first season. You know, I remember those days. I started watching season two, you know, I started watching the first episode of season two, you know, just happened to catch a commercial about the show and thinking, oh, this looks interesting. They're talking about, you know, hunters of urban legends and stuff. Watch the first episode of the second season. That was the one where John Winchester died. So it's like, I watched that episode and I didn't know anything about the characters, and I'm like bawling by the end of the first by the end of that episode.
Hilarious.
And I'm like, okay, wait, I need to go watch this. So I, you know, I found the first season online. I think I started watching it, and I was hooked. You know, it was so different. It was so entertaining. But back then, they didn't have a big fan base like they do now. But the fans are what kept that show on the air. And it's like, you know, for it to have come as far as it did, Supernatural was a virtual unknown when it first came out. Like, I remember even season three, season four, I would talk to people about the show, and they're like, what is that? And I'm like, how can you not know what the show is?
Yeah.
It's one of the best shows on television. And it's like, now there's so many people, like one of my girlfriends, she finally started watching it. A couple of months ago, she started all the way from season one, and she's caught up to season six now, and she loves it. Yeah, she loves it. And that's like, a lot of my friends who weren't watching it at first, they started watching it, they love it, and it's like, the show is really good. It's really, it's written well, it has a nice balance, but it's like, again, where are we going to go after this? Like, you're already, you're not three seasons past where you were going to go, and you've kept it entertaining, but I really don't want it to get to the point where people start to get bored and then you're canceled, because then that means you've kind of fallen off and people are tired of you. I really don't want to see the show go that route.
I don't either, but I think they're finally, like, this year trying to treat it like a flagship show. They've moved it to Wednesday instead of the death slot of Friday, which I think they're showing it some respect. They're also...
Wait, really? See, I didn't even know. See, I haven't been paying attention to the news online, so I didn't even know they were moving it to... They're moving Supernatural to Wednesday?
Yeah, to Wednesday. And they're going to pair it with the new Green Arrow show. So they're going to...
Okay.
Then there's some other shows. I forget whichever. But I know that those two are going to be paired up. Did you watch Smallville at all?
I caught it in bits and pieces. I wasn't one to sit and watch it. My husband at the time did. And so every time he would watch it and I'm walking back past, you know, past and I'm looking, I'm like, okay, this seems interesting, and I'll sit down and I'll watch. But then I'm one of those type of people, I'll start having questions, and I don't like asking people what's going on in the show, because I know they'll probably want to answer it the way I usually answer. Like, okay, if you really want to know what's going on, you need to pay attention.
Girl, that's not the point. I just want to know if you remember Lana Lang. Do you remember Lana Lang?
Yes.
Okay, she's going to be in a new TV show called Beauty and the Beast. And that's going to be paired with something else on Friday that I can't quite remember what it is. So
the remake of the old 80s show Beauty and the Beast, or the 90s show?
Like the movie.
Okay.
Like the movie. So it's going to be like that. But what it looks like, because I remember you telling me that the people in charge of CW want to get all type of sci-fi weirdness off of there. Oh, the Beauty and the Beast is going to be paired with Vampire Diaries. That's what I was trying to say.
Oh,
okay.
Okay,
so you're going to have those two. And I remember you telling me at one point that whoever was in charge at CW was trying to get Supernatural, Vampire Diaries, shows like that off of their station because they wanted to, you know, have the 90210s and the other little, I guess, you know, teeny shows with the whatever. But what it seems like to me with this season, what they're doing is there's like, you know what, we get more viewers with these shows that we think are low brow, or, you know, we don't really like that much and we don't want to be associated with, but we get more money and more views with these shows, so we're going to treat these shows right, and we're going to give them some respect, and, you know, we're going to make new ones, and we're going to get rid of the, you know, the shows that we are not making more money of. So it seems like, because of Supernatural, some other, like, alternative viewer type shows, Green Arrow, Superheroes, Beauty and the Beast, Vampire Diaries, they're getting a little bit more respect on this station. So I'm really glad for that.
Sci-fi fantasy is starting to rule. They're starting to earn their place because nobody cares about the rich kid stuff. Who watches that stuff?
Yeah, like Gossip Girl or whatever. I'm sure that's going to stay, or whatever, but, you know, those people, I mean, they're not as loyal as, say, a Supernatural fan, so.
Yeah, so.
Or maybe they
That's good that they're getting their respect, so, you know, let's see them keep earning it, you know. the show has been really good, you know. I really hope that, you know, I'm going to kind of keep my mind open for this, with this purgatory stuff. I don't know what to expect, and like I said, I stay away from spoilers. I stay away from fan theory, so I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, me either.
And I kind of want to go into the season like that, because that way I can be totally surprised.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not looking forward to the prospect of Sam and Dean being separated again. So I hope that separation is very brief.
Yeah, because that's going to be, I don't know what that's going to be again. So, we'll just look forward to it. And like you said, let's go in with an open mind, and we'll just let the writers do the thing. Because you know what? We've trusted them so far, and they've not really let us down. So we can give them a little respect them enough to trust them with this next season.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We have until September, so you know, we can do a lot of speculating, a lot of thinking. But you know, luckily we don't have to wait a whole year. So, I know. That's the one thing I like about the shows on CW. We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait a few months.
But they wait like a month between new episodes or something like that. It's just like sometimes it's really torture because they take little mini hiatuses.
That is starting to get irritating. But at the same time, I guess it kind of drags the season out for a little bit longer.
I guess so.
So because we get a season from September till May. Whereas, like, Game of Thrones, I think, starts in, like, April, and we'll probably be done with them by June.
No, yeah, correct. Because there's only two more episodes of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and, like, True Blood starts in June. We'll probably be done with them before Supernatural even comes back in September. So I kind of like that we get a longer season. We get more episodes.
That's true.
So that's a good thing, but, you know, the mini hiatuses, is like you get caught up on a couple of episodes and then, you know, Supernatural will be back in 3 weeks. What? What the fuck is that? You know, what? So, I guess I need to go pull the DVDs out, go watch, you know, go watch Yellow Fever and, you know, Jesse Apples playing leg guitar.
That's some good stuff right there. Okay, so we saved the treat for the end of the episode, and now Hanako and I are going to talk about the Avengers.
Yeah! That movie was so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to do midnight movies now since I'm usually with my kids, and since I'm single now, you know, it's just me and the kids, so I don't like leaving them home that late at night, and they always have school the next day. I don't really get to do a midnight movie during the school year anymore, so I had to wait to watch The Avengers, which I didn't have to wait too long because my birthday was 2 days later, so I got to go on my birthday, so that was like the best birthday treat ever.
That movie was
so much fun to watch. It was not your typical superhero movie. It was kind of because you have the heroes and they're fighting a common enemy, but then again they're fighting each other too, and that was so much fun to watch. Just the different personalities with the characters and the dynamics, and you know, the kind of the backbiting and the back talking and the trash talking and the fighting, and Loki getting his ass whooped by the Hulk. That was epic. And that movie was so much fun to watch. It was so much fun to watch.
And can you believe our man Joss Whedon was over that?
You know, Joss Whedon can just, I don't know. He's the man. What can you say? What else can you say?
Yeah, he had help, whatever. You know, he had other people helping him, whatever. But I think he had a really big hand in making this movie. Like, the dialogue was just so... It was so Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Why, like, no dialogue was left unturned. It was just, you know, line after line after line.
And also, if you look, Entertainment Weekly did a cover story on the Avengers probably about 2 weeks before it came out. And they had an interview with all of the main cast together in one room. And it was funny reading it in the magazine because it's like you see the different personalities and how they feed off each other. And you can even tell on paper that there's like a chemistry between them.
Mm-hmm.
But then about a week later, they posted the video on their website of the interviews.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, it was all I could do to stop laughing long enough to hear what they were saying. They are hilarious together. And it's kind of like, you want to know how much of the movie, of the dialogue in the movie was scripted and how much of it was ad-lib.
Oh, wow.
Because they kind of play off each other that way. I think the two most interesting characters for me as far as when they're in their human forms were Tony Stark and Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
Them two together talking, it was a really weird geek fest, but it was so interesting because it's like you just want to sit there and like I really want to understand what they're saying. They just made all that stuff seem so interesting, just the way that they played off each other. And Robert Downey Jr. is just a genius as that character anyway. And my daughter couldn't stand him. She's like, I don't like Iron Man's character. I said, but that's how you know he's doing a great job. Because it's like, he's a superhero, but he's arrogant, and you can't stand him. But at the same time, you like him. Because he's so honest, and, you know, he's just there in your face, and it's like you want to hate him, but at the same time you can't because he's being truthful. He's telling you the truth.
Yeah.
You know, he's not lying. He's not BSing around. And it was just the different little the comedic timing of some of the stuff, you know, Thor talking about, hey, that's my brother. He killed da-da-da-da-da. Well, he's adopted. You know?
That was so great. So
you know, and... You know, and then Loki, you know, being all big and bad, you know, you guys are beneath me. I will not get bullied. Bam, 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 bully this. That, the whole theater exploded in laughter. Like, I couldn't hear dialogue for the next 5 minutes because everybody was laughing so hard about that.
I have to say, I saw this twice, and just the patrons in the theater just enjoyed it. You can tell that nobody was being forced to enjoy it or anything like that. That everybody truly, truly enjoyed it, and that was just an enjoy. It was enjoyable to be a part of.
It was. I mean, the fight scenes were really good, and the I don't know. The characters were very interesting, too. I hated we didn't get to see Natalie Portman a little bit because I kind of like, you know, I thought she was kind of geeky cute in Thor, but I'm kind of glad, too, because they kind of, it would have taken away from
the story.
But, Black Widow, loved her. Hawkeye, loved her. Okay, I think Hawkeye is going to be like my new baby daddy. Every time he flexed that bow, it was just kind of like, that's so sexy, and all he's doing is just flexing the bow. It was just, I don't know, something
seriously,
about his character.
Finally, I found the one person who was interested in Hawkeye. I just thought he didn't do anything. I was so terribly bored with him, and his character didn't really get that much development. And all he did was seriously run around looking like Katniss and Legolas, and I don't, like, really, what are we doing here, Hawkeye? You're boring the crap out of me.
I liked him.
Yeah, no. I'm just glad someone did because I just was not there for Hawkeye.
Well, you know, one thing that I'm noticing about myself in certain movies, characters that are archers or, you know, have bow and arrows, they appeal to me for some reason. Legolas, I couldn't care about him as an elf, but as soon as he pulled that bow and arrow out, it was like, you know, that's one reason why I know I'm going to be watching Green Arrow this season because he's got a bow. I don't know what it is. Something about so simple a weapon, but you can do so much damage. I'm sorry, Hawkeye with his different little things and all those things, those arrows. I'm sorry, there's something just so incredibly sexy about that to me. So yeah, I like this character.
Okay.
I was like, okay, yeah, okay. He's kicking a little butt with his little bow and arrow, you know, exploding stuff, and you know, it was interesting to me. I wasn't expecting the whole him being a bad guy for half the movie. That kind of threw me off.
Yeah, that's what I think did it to me, because I still like, who is he? I still don't know who he is. I know more about everyone else except for Hawkeye, who got, you know, tapped at the beginning of the movie, and like, who is he? Like, I don't know who he is. I just know that he knows how to track with that arrow really well, and he can like do it. He can like track a target without really looking at it and then still really hit it. And I think that's, you know, it's crafty, but I don't care. Now, like I said, I know I'm repeating myself a little bit, but I am excited about him becoming Jason Bourne. So
yes,
that's going to be,
I'm really excited to see that.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good in Mission Impossible, but again, it's okay. I don't know, it was a little boring in part, so I wasn't excited.
Really?
Well, I saw it at home on my computer and not in theater, so maybe I got distracted and got bored that way, and maybe if I had been in a theater, I would have liked it a little bit more, but
okay.
I don't know. But him as Jason Bourne, I was like, well, maybe I could pretend like the Jason Bourne stuff is the backstory for his Hawkeye, blah, blah. And I don't know. I don't know. On his own, he was my least, well, no. He wasn't my least favorite character. My least most interesting character was that female soldier who was just kind of soldiering around doing stuff.
I was kind of like, I didn't understand her purpose here. Like, what's my purpose?
Yeah.
Like, who am I? Why am I here?
People were excited about her because she's on the TV show How I Met Your Mother, and I was just like, well,
I watched
that, so I don't care. I didn't care. But everybody else, yeah, I'm all over. But. Oh, did you think that when we first saw that trailer together that we were going to get this epic a film?
No, I didn't. I mean, I knew it was good, but at the same time, you kind of want to hold back because you don't want your expectations to outweigh what the film actually is.
Right.
And I think a lot of people go into some of these movies expecting that. Now, I kind of figured it was going to be an epic movie because all of the films leading up to it were pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, Thor was great. Captain America was great. Iron Man 1 and 2. You know, so I kind of figured it was going to be good. But then you have your, you know, there were a lot of expectations for Green Lantern, and that didn't hold up. And,
well, he's not part
of
the Avengers, so we didn't have to.
Exactly. But, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, especially when it comes to superheroes and stuff, we have all this hype, and then you kind of don't want to be disappointed. So I was very excited for it, and the trailer made me excited for it, but I was still kind of like,
I was concerned about the Hulk because those Hulk movies kind of suck.
You know, that's what I had heard as well. But, you know, everyone keeps telling me, I think it's the one with Ed Norton. They're saying that's the one that was good.
Oh,
but,
okay.
I think I've seen both of them, but I don't remember either one of them very much. So I've actually been fussed at about, I need to go back and watch those Hulk movies. So I guess I'll do that at some point in time within the next couple of weeks. But
I'm kind of doing it too, but I don't know. I don't really want to, because if they suck, maybe that's like the movies that you watch. Cause like I've been told my whole life that Titanic movie sucked, and I finally watched it and I really enjoyed it. So maybe it might be.
Who told you Titanic sucked?
Like everybody was like, oh, that movie.
Oh my god, that's like one of the. Oh, you know
it
what?
Was good. I really enjoyed Titanic.
Yes,
I thought
it
all the years I was just like, I'm not seeing that crap. Everybody says it sucked, and so I was like, well, I'm not gonna bother with a movie that people say sucks. So I just didn't. And then Eric was like, you need to watch it. He like pestered me for a year and a half to watch Titanic. Seriously.
I remember one of the first podcast that we did where he and I were on it together. I think we mentioned Titanic either on the podcast or just us on the phone before the podcast. I think I remember us talking about that as well. So,
and you know how long ago that was. He'd been on, and I just saw it like maybe 2-3 months ago.
Wow.
And I really
hate it. But we never steer you wrong. I remember a time when you said you wouldn't watch Harry Potter either. You wouldn't read Harry Potter.
Yeah, I know, but it takes me a lot of fussing before I give in. I have to give the good fight for a while and be ridiculous. And then sometimes I have to be in the mood for it. And if I'm not in the right,
you're learning. It didn't take you long at all to get into being human. I only had to pester you about it for, 6 months?
Maybe a year.
I don't even think it was that long, because I think once I talked to you about them from Dragon Con last year my interviews, I think that's when you were kind of like, okay, you know what, as long as I get some time.
Because this was the one guy that was really goofy, and I was like, okay, well, I could watch him.
Yes.
And I really liked his character.
I love him so much. And, you need to hurry up and catch up, because when I tell you season two,
that character I was talking about, the goofy guy, his character is from Ithaca.
Yes.
So that's
About that too when you moved there. I was like, oh, maybe she'll bump into Joshua. But season one was a great season. Season two was so much better because you had so much more character development. There was a lot more, you found out a lot more about where these characters came from and how they got to be the way that they are. And season two was a really, really great season. Really great. So I think you will really enjoy it once you get to that point.
Okay.
But it's the last few episodes, get your tissues. Get your tissues.
Oh dear.
Yes, get your tissues.
Well, we'll work on that, I guess, soon. That's our show, guys. We love your feedback. Go to our website, leave us a comment on scifipartyline.com. Send us a tweet at scifipartyline. We're on Facebook. Like us there. We're on Google Plus. Plus us there. Whatever you do, you young folks, and your Google Plus. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
End of line.